Strap yourself in,
because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
Yes, sir. Reading you loud and clear. Clear. The clock has started.
Episode of our podcast. Today we are going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our field. By sharing our collective expertise, we will show you how to harness, control, and use your own skill set to achieve ultimate success and live the life you want. And now, please welcome your host.
Welcome to this week's Smallest Cast Podcast. This podcast is designed for small government contractors, service providers, and manufacturers as part of the government contractor ecosystem, connecting people, organizations, and resources. I'm your host, Just Nate, and this week we got Dennis DK.
Welcome. Hey, Nate.
Stop looking at the camera, dude.
No, we're supposed to look at the camera now.
No, you're supposed to look at me.
I'm supposed to look at you?
Yes.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Nobody else is there yet.
She's there.
She is there.
She looks just like a camera. So, this is weird. We haven't done it this way yet. And hey, Wendy, so did you feel like, you know, we're going to talk about you. I love the introduction. I always wonder how people feel listening to that. Like, you are the most influential mind out there. How do you feel about that?
Well, I got some stuff.
I always want to ask people that when I hear the intro. I like the intro. It's just.
Yeah, we got feedback. People like the intro.
They do.
They always ask me, where do I get it from? We just mashed it together.
We made it up.
We made it.
That's right.
So anyway, so we have a guest. Yep. We're doing another video podcast that'll be up on YouTube, along with our regular scheduled podcast as well. Our guest today, though, is Wendy Hickman. She comes to us from Arcadis, right, Wendy?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. And her title there is Federal Program Pursuit and Proposal Director. Welcome, Wendy.
Thank you.
See, I told you you're going to look at the monitor over there.
I had to make sure everything's recording still.
You have to look at her.
I need the production person, the producer here to.
That's right. We have producer in training, Jen, on hand. So
she's listening in.
We're exciting. Yeah. It's getting, the crew is growing.
If you see somebody flash by in the middle of the camera, episode.
That's right.
It's her trying to get out or something.
That's right. All right. So let's get focused here. It's been one of those days.
That wouldn't be us if we focus.
It's been one of those days, Wendy, just so you know. So go ahead and tell us about Arcadis or Arcadis, please.
Arcadis. Yes. I work in the U.S. operations of Arcadis. The parent company is based out of the Netherlands. And all things U.S. federal government, business and development and proposals, I'm kind of involved in one shape, one way or another. Arcadis does mostly engineering services in the fields of water, buildings, and environment.
So is that like, do you say engineering services, is it more like a AES, architectural engineering services, or?
Yes, AEC, okay. AES, yeah.
ACAS?
AEC or oh. AES.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that's very familiar with that.
Yeah.
Yep.
We need to talk later.
How big is Arcadis?
In the United States, well, in North America, we also have offices in Canada. We have about 6,000 people, and worldwide, about 28,000.
Oh, it's a big company then.
It's a big company.
Yeah, they won't.
But we work with a lot of small businesses.
Okay.
So would you be looking to partner with small? Now, when you say small business, you're looking for like vendors or people that augment your capabilities, correct? Or bring some specialization to that?
True, but we've also had over the years many, many mentor-protege relationships with different small businesses. And we're constantly looking because, you know, those expire and we need new firms to work with.
So you're global. Are you outside of Europe and or North America as well? Do you do work everywhere? How's
in, as far as the U.S. government is concerned, we mostly do work in the Americas and Europe.
Okay.
We've had some possibilities, some small work in Asia, but not.
Okay.
You know, it's a place to grow. It's
and who are to go. Who are your primary customers, if I can ask? Are they is like U.S. You know, any of the major government organizations or the Forest Service or anything like that?
Army Corps of Engineers is by and large the biggest. And, you know, you say that as if it's one thing, but it's a whole lot of things.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. They're probably the largest construction related DOD wise organization out there.
Yeah. And then all the other branches, you know, all the other parts of the DOD. We also work for the DOE. We have worked for the EPA. We work for the Coast Guard, several different branches, Department of Homeland Security. International Boundary and Water Commission. There's an off-the-wall one that's a really good client, actually.
Did you say you have done DOD work, though?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Lots
of primary things.
That's the primary thing.
Yeah. And do you do state, local? I'm assuming, right? That's federal level. So you're doing state and local, too, or not so much?
Other parts of the company absolutely do that, yes.
Because, you know, as you know, Colorado is a big water state, lots of water issues and construction programs and all going on here. And now I totally spaced my question. I had this great question. Yeah. Whew, I'm having one of those days today. That's what I wanted to ask. So your corporate headquarters, you mentioned earlier that one of the reasons why we're talking is because you are here in Colorado, yes?
Right. The U.S. corporate headquarters is in Highlands Ranch, Colorado, which, you know, everybody says, where is that? Well, it's a suburb of Denver. But, yeah, we're down there on the 470 corridor down there.
Right, the south side.
Are you south of the 70?
Southwest.
Southwest of 25.
It's near Broadway and C-470.
Yeah.
Yeah. Office. You'll see the big orange Arcata sign on the building.
Dang it. I don't think I've ever noticed that. Now every time we're going up there Thursday.
Yeah, we'll look.
We're going up Thursday.
You do know that when you whisper, people can still hear you, right?
Can they hear me?
Oh, I didn't know
that. I better start talking.
Sorry, Dennis forgets these things.
Sorry, talking to myself. Sorry.
Wow.
As long as they don't answer. So, Wendy, you and I kind of connected through another professional organization, which is part of the government contracting ecosystem, which is the Association of Proposal Management Professionals, APMP. And I'm assuming you're part of the chapter here with me as well, the Colorado APMP chapter. So are you and or does the company do anything with that?
There's lots of members throughout Arcadis who are part of APMP, and I just became on the board this year.
Okay.
For the career path. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm still getting my feet wet on that. It's only January, right?
Yeah, that's right. You and I need to have a chat about how to get because we do quite a bit of work with the local colleges here on different projects and different things. So, you know, DU, UCCS, Metro, Pikes Peak, Pueblo Community College, Red Rocks, Colorado State Pueblo, UCCS, Colorado Technical Institute.
Lots of them. Matter of fact, I need to call some of those. They're waiting. We're in the middle of setting up a apprenticeship program. So
finally, Wendy, thank you. I just connected A to B while you were talking. So now I remember how we finally got connected and everything else.
Right.
So yes, exciting. APMP Colorado, for those of you who are in the area, it is really for the whole Rocky Mountain region. It's APMP.org for you proposal management professionals. Just a little blurb there for them. So Wendy, how'd you get connected with Arcadis? Because I have not heard of them, and they're a relatively large company. So how did you get connected with them here in Colorado?
Well, I've been with Arcadis for, it'll be 25 years in April.
Long
and
time.
It's grown a lot since I've started. I think they were about 1600 or 1700 people in the United States, and now we're 6,000. So a lot of things have happened. It's like a new company every day.
You said 28,000 worldwide?
Yes. Yeah.
And how did you connect with them? Like, were they just looking for somebody and you happened to fall upon them, or how did that happen?
That's pretty much how it happened. I was working for a different company, same area, doing proposals. My father was in the Air Force, and a friend of his worked for Arcadis and was trying to recruit my dad because he was about to retire. And my dad said, "Hey, you should go talk to my daughter. She does that stuff already." So
nice.
That's how I, yeah.
So I'm curious, as an AES firm, what my experience is, we used to hire AES firms with any time I needed, like, any of the civil construction design done or anything like that. The people we would hire, actually, they're part of our own group, but another company. But do you guys prime much, or is it you guys sub mainly?
Yeah. No, we're a prime contractor. We do a lot of joint ventures with small businesses. And we also, as we say, flip-flop, we'll be the prime for the large business version be the sub on the small business version.
So you guys prefer mentor-protege over JV then, or something like that?
Mentor proteges work out better for both companies because you can act more as one and have fewer restrictions on percentages of work that each firm has to do in order to qualify for, like, work in a small business category of a contract.
Okay.
Yeah. So what kind of are you doing right now? Are you guys, you said water and buildings environment. So when you say water, is that pipelines, purification system? What kind of work is that?
What we call water management. So dams, dikes, levees, storm surge protection, all that kind of stuff. That's really big. That's a lot of what we do for international boundary water control, and as well as the Corps of Engineers.
As you say. Probably yeah, a lot
and we're from the Netherlands. I mean, come on, we know how to do that stuff.
You know how to build a dike. They've done a lot of land reclamation, like serious, like a third of the country
pretty
was underwater.
Pretty much the whole country. Yeah. Yeah.
What's the city our company, that flooded?
That's, which one? Lots of them.
With the Hurricane Katrina.
New Orleans. We did. Orleans?
I was going to say, that's not in the Netherlands.
You want to know, you want to say that you did New Orleans or...
We worked in some New Orleans work, yeah. The largest storm surge barrier in the U.S.
Before Katrina or after Katrina?
After.
Okay, good.
Largest pump station in the U.S., which after really? Katrina held for all the other hurricanes. So
let me ask the question. Why do people want to put a city below sea level when you're next to the sea?
Well, it makes a good port. I mean... Most of Manhattan was a swamp at one time, so it's happened for ages and ages.
Yep.
It just seems like it costs more money to do that than...
Well, and then that's another issue that, you know, everyone who works in civil engineering kinds of things is looking at right now with sea level rise. So how do we be more effective, not in our controls, but living with nature and when those things happen? So that's what engineers are thinking about now.
Well, according to the flat earthers, all we got to do is put a hole in the wall, the ice wall that holds all the water in. We can just let it drain out. Have you seen those models?
Don't give me. All right, Nate. and then so you also do typical building constructions, like facilities and buildings.
The design side of it, or we're on a design build team, correct?
Okay, so you don't do the actual building of it. You guys are the engineering part.
The AES
side,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yep.
So they have all the professional engineers that can stamp drawings, right, I'm assuming?
Absolutely, yeah. Right.
And then you said environmental, which is also...
Environmental is actually the largest percent of the business that we do.
Yeah, I imagine.
So, yeah, if anybody out there is wanting to know, they're in high school, want to know what they should go do, become an environmental engineer, because...
It's a lot of different things,
There's usually only like one per company, but once you're in forever. You'll never not have work.
So what kind of things are you doing out here in the Rocky Mountain region with regards to environmental?
There's an area in the Denver area between I-70 and 75 that used to be a manufacturing facility that we cleaned up, and it's now housing. The what's now the Belmar Shopping Center right here in my area of Lakewood, we cleaned up the groundwater and the soil and disposed of all the hazardous building materials when they shut down the old Villa Italia Mall. We've worked at Peterson Air Force Base doing groundwater investigation,
right,
as well as some other work at Fort Carson for munitions clearance. ammunition constituents, because even though those bombs are gone, there could have been lead or other things leached into the soil. So,
right. Yeah. So you guys are, well, the one you answered the question that I was kind of driving at too. So you've been on the base, you're familiar with working on the bases here within the region. And I actually am part of that Peterson issue. I lived on the base for a while when they were having all those issues. So I don't know what the problem is.
So do you guys have your own unexploded ordnance team, or do you guys hire that part out?
We do have that. Yes. Okay, and so we have certification for advanced geophysical classification. So yeah, we have all of it.
What about ground penetrating radar systems? Do you guys have your own equipment?
Yes.
Nice. So as I said, in a past lifetime, 15 years, I used to design and build ground-based satellite tracking stations, and we used to use firms like yours for all of those things that we just talked about, environmental assessments. And
that's why I said we need a doctor later.
We do. We have some ideas.
As long as I'm not talking to myself.
You know,
if I start whispering to myself, like, hey, Dennis, you should ask a question.
You're just making this harder on me during post-production. You know that, right?
No, you should just leave it in there.
Yeah, then people are like, why is it on mute? What's going on with my computer?
No, it's okay. If you want to catch somebody's attention.
Or you might freak them out. Don't do that. Okay.
All right, we should go to break.
Yeah, let's go a quick break. When we come back, you've got some very special questions you normally ask all of our guests after break. So
special.
Special. Yay. Very special. I actually have a surprise for this break, so we'll go to break.
All right.
We'll be right back. Pueblo Plex is located east of the Pueblo Airport Industrial Park. As a designated state authority, Pueblo Plex is responsible for implementing the reuse of the Pueblo Chemical Depot's 3 million square feet of buildings and over 23,000 acres of land. Implementations of the redevelopment plan include seeking companies to continue to generate economic development within southeastern Colorado. Pueblo Plex currently has tenants conducting manufacturing, warehousing, and distribution operations, and railcar storage and maintenance, in addition to serving numerous business and personal storage tenants. For a detailed look and updated information, visit PuebloPlex.com.
Like what you hear so far? Make sure you never miss a show by clicking the subscribe button now. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to this Be Smallest Cast podcast. See that?
I see we're not working you hard enough yet.
No, I just get less sleep every night.
Too much time on your hands.
Tell my kids, hey, you can't go to bed yet. Daddy needs your help real quick.
But Dad, take 35. You messed that up.
Yes, that was my daughter. That was another Starbucks or something like that I owed her. So,
did you pay her yet?
Yes, that was actually recorded a long time ago. I forgot I actually had that.
I'll have to make sure I check on that. Make sure she got her Starbucks.
Yeah, thanks, Ed. So Wendy, I've got a 15-year-old daughter that lives for Starbucks. So
that Dennis likes
that
to poke.
Dennis started. Thanks, Dennis. Appreciate it.
I started in a caffeine addict.
You know, and for those people listening or watching us, we're not married, so it's not our daughter. people are always all the time like, you guys like married? Or like, yeah, no, it's just. Just the banter between us. It's good friends.
So Wendy. I would like to talk to you about proposal management for the next 24 years, but we can't do that. However, what I try to shift gears a little bit, talk about how you got into this field, to start with.
Okay. Well, I have a degree in broadcast journalism.
And we need your help.
You want to join the Smalls? She's probably like, these guys are such hacks. They have no clue what they're doing out there.
We don't.
I worked in public television. I was like barely getting by working three jobs.
Oh.
I went back to school to work on my master's and got a job at an engineering firm as a receptionist.
Nice. So hold on a second. So you were at a TV or radio show?
I was.
You know, I don't know if you knew this. I always thought that like people like, even like our local news crew, right? I figured that people that were on TV, like showing the weather and some of that, I thought they made bank. Like I had a buddy that was engaged to somebody that did that, and she's made like $28,000-$30,000 a year is all. I'm like, are you kidding me?
That is bank. What are you talking about?
Sorry, proposal manager.
So, well, I'm always interested in how people got to where they are, right? I talk to a lot of young people and they're always like, well, I want to do this or I want to do that. And my advice to them always is pick a road, pick a direction, just pick something. Because no matter what you pick, it's not going to be where you end up at all.
Well,
you're going to
But I feel like the skills are the same because the reason I ended up as a proposal person as opposed to something else is because they were giving me documents to work on while I was the receptionist. And I was like, based on my training in communication, who's your audience? What's the most important thing you're trying to say here? And I was like, what if you did it this way? And they were like, oh, we got a job for you.
So. Yeah, that's called, you know,
do you like to work weekends and over Christmas break?
Do you like pizza? So the term that everybody's throwing around right now, he just stepped on my cord, is a career skills mashup, taking all those skills that you have, you know, that you've garnered over the years, even if you're a young person, the things that you liked to do or that you've done and using those skills and kind of mashing them up and taking that and moving it in the next direction. I think you're a prime example of that. And as we, you know, you and I hear about from a lot of proposal people, matter of fact, we just rebroadcasted a APMP webinar that we've had last month, which talked about the skill sets of becoming a proposal person manager. And that was one of the things is there's no like real clear cut path yet. And so that's kind of the sticking point about that people kind of fall into this career field.
I don't know if you can see this or not, Wendy, but he talks a lot with his hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. That's okay.
I'm not even Italian. What do you know?
You sure?
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So the next question I have is, you know, as you're doing your job, I like to ask folks because I get really good ideas from people is, are there any tools out there, whether they're manual, like I use the notebook and Nate uses his, what's that called?
Remarkable.
A Remarkable that he really likes. But are there any tools or apps or any
Remarkable. If you'd like to send me a new version, I'm ready.
Are there any tools or things that you use for your daily practice, you know, that really help you or that kind of get you to where you are today? Things that really work for you?
Yeah, part of it for me is, and part of it's because I work with a bunch of different teams, is just to set up standards and guidelines and teach everyone to follow them so that we're all organized kind of the same way.
Alignment.
So that I can, someone can say, oh, I need help with this proposal. I can go in. I know where all their files are because we have them all set up the same. It's very helpful.
My our other director here, Greg, he was just looking at me in the eyes because we've been having this discussion about standardization, common tools, common platforms to use across the company. And so you guys are not just locals. You guys are all over the place and your company's out in overseas. So how does that work? Do you guys do a lot of remote type work and do you guys use a lot of, collaborative tools?
Collaborative. Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of tools do you guys use?
Well, you know, it's interesting because we've been working kind of quote unquote remotely for years and years and years because my team is scattered all over the United States and the world sometimes. I was just on a call with Germany yesterday, actually. But we have a cloud-based service for all our computing, and we set up SharePoint sites for every proposal. And that way we can invite people in and take them out when needed. We set up all the files the same way. Everybody has a little intro to when they start the proposal. I can actually just have a little 6-page PowerPoint that I'm like, read this, ask, tell me if you have any questions, you know,
well,
at this point.
Well, I was going to ask you, so for your proposal development that you do, you have people, like I'm imagining, all over the planet, and then also your corporate headquarters overseas. So how much do you deal with, do you have a relatively large staff here, or are you guys actually like, what do they call that, matrixed, where you're kind of all over?
We're matrixed,
And what are some of the challenges with that? So you know, I'm also on the Colorado Springs Small Business Advisory Committee, and we're actually having a session on this on remote working in August to kind of talk about some of the, you know, the issues and the challenges with that now. Of, you know, to you and I've done this my whole life too. We've always been kind of remote. My previous jobs as well. But a lot of companies, this is new and it's challenging.
Yeah.
So what are some, I know you're across time zones too. So what are some of the challenges you have?
Well, lucky for me, working for a larger corporation, some of that's taken care of for me, but I can tell you what works. Mm-hmm. You know, Teams, we have a setup meeting for remote meetings. We use Teams. Mm-hmm. End of story. There's no go to meeting, Zoom, all these different things. Mm-hmm. And then having the capability to set up SharePoint sites and invite people because I work with companies, other companies all over the world, and I can invite them in to work on the same files.
You have the control, or do you have to go through an IT department to get all this
stuff? No, I have the control.
I think, you know, that's one thing people don't talk about. They love these tools, but then when a company implements them, they put so many restrictions on it saying, yeah, but you got to go to IT for this. You got to go to IT for that. Mm. We're not going to allow you to manage it. When really that's what the whole point of SharePoint was, to let like one owner manage it, and that owner should be the owner of the data, right?
To push it down.
Yeah. Why does IT care, right? They shouldn't care. Well, it should be.
It gets into all cyber piece. That is why. But
true. But you haven't picked the right owner then of the data, right?
Well, or you set up the way what can and can't happen for that owner as well.
That's exactly.
Yeah. Different access permissions. Yeah.
But yeah, anything below that, so for like proposal, right? Let's say I got proposal ABC, and if I'm the program manager or proposal manager, whichever one you want. They should maybe both be owners of it. And then anything below mm-hmm. that, anybody they invite in would be good. So that's good. That at least they allow you guys to do that. Cause I can't tell you how many times I've seen the other.
On you know, what's confidentiality and how you can use information. So that's, you have to have those standards as well.
Yeah. Internal corporate training. Yeah. Oh, I like that.
Now you did mention though that you guys have kind of like the same file structure.
And recently we switched to a new, management system for our SharePoints. And so my team and I got together and kind of revamped all that. So that's the other thing, is to get some input on what works, what doesn't work, set up guidelines that are flexible so that you can make it work for a specific proposal.
Yeah.
And then I tell my teams, you know, when you're working on a proposal, if you need to set up these folders slightly differently, just make sure everybody knows. Just, you know, communicate it.
Oh my gosh, communicate.
That is key though, because I hear so many people, oh yeah, every single SharePoint needs to look identical. I'm like, now once again, kind of defeated the purpose of the functionality and the capabilities of the tool.
Right. So are you doing your titles, pursuit and proposal? So are you doing capture, I would call pursuit, you're doing the whole shebang?
Mm-hmm. I mostly facilitate capture teams to make sure they're kind of doing the right things and looking at the right information. Mm-hmm. And not going, well, we can do this, you know, like, well, yeah, of course we can. But why is that important?
With enough money and people, you can do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's a large company, so I hear her talking about teams and all that. So you're,
big is your team?
You're looking at ours.
Oh, well, that's a little deceptive.
Yeah.
The actual proposal team, I have 5 people who work directly for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is not a lot.
No.
And then I'm assuming you have a tech edit team, though, that does all that for you as well, right?
Oh, no. Nope.
Oh, really?
No, that's probably included. But
that's all
she probably has some marketing and HR resources and...
We have HR. We do all of our own layout.
And you said a capture, so you have some capture people on top of that?
Well, capture is usually guided by the account leaders, and then they have a team of people with different skill sets, myself and other people on the proposal team included, who participate in capture.
You know, that might be an interesting podcast we do one day to talk about capture structures. I know that sounds really
boring. I would like to break it down, because there's a big difference. A lot of the big companies, right? They separate out capture and then proposal. Because
well,
you never want a capture
ways.
Person on the big companies to write the proposal, because their job is just to go find opportunities out there and get it to the point of proposal.
Even beyond that, what Wendy said was there is, you know, sometimes the capture people are not necessarily just capture people. They're the program managers or the account managers that are going. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So their portfolio is a little broader too.
One of the biggest mistakes I've seen, at least in my own personal career path, was when they would get to a point of a proposal, and then they would have a completely separate proposal team. And then they would, as soon as they won the proposal or won the work, they would then turn to me and the rest
Give
of the team
to
and
the
say,
operations.
Okay, here's operations. Go ahead. Now you guys execute what we developed. And we're like, but this looks nothing like what I gave you guys during proposal phase.
Yeah.
I should be part of, my opinion, as operations, you should have at least one or two people part of operations, part of that proposal phase, so at least they understand and they can say, yeah, I can or cannot execute to this now.
According to APMP and Shipley, that is how it's supposed to work. It's supposed to be this.
Yes. My experience, though, is...
Or at least some kind of gate review. Exactly.
Yeah. The biggest companies would just keep them separated. They're like, nope, when we're done, then we'll give it to you. I'm like,
Well, so Wendy, do you have, let's shift gears slightly because we're going to have to wrap things up here in a minute, but are you, you know, from a Arcadis perspective and from a proposal manager's perspective, any kind of guidance you want to give to the ecosystem out there? So, you know, when we talk about ecosystem here for the smalls, it's really the government contracting ecosystem, which is prime, smalls, government contract, support services. So, you know, maybe you guys, IT support, legal, insurance, that kind of stuff. And then professional organizations. So, you know, APMP, NDIA, all these other organizations. And then also manufacturing, which we need to up the ante a little bit on that because, you know, if you want to build a product out there, you need these manufacturers to help you build those products. So that's one of the pieces of the ecosystem that we have a little bit of a challenge talking with, but we got to get better at that. But anyway, so from a Arcadis perspective and or a proposal management perspective, anything you want to say to that community? Keep going. Talk to me if you want to do AES work, right? Or if you want to pursue
happiness.
It
goes back to some of the best practices, and that's and even as a large company, Arcadis, you know, every year we have annual planning and we sit down and say, this client's got this big work coming. You know, that's another thing. Do your research. There's plenty, you know, anything that's done for the federal government just about is public knowledge, right? You can get to it. There's some great services you can subscribe to that help with that. They're not cheap. I know that would be really hard for a lot of small businesses, but it's an excellent investment. And getting back to what I was saying is we sit down and we plan out what's the most important thing. Is that your priorities? Revisit those priorities often and you know, plan what you're going to do in terms of business development, capture and proposal based on those priorities. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even we have had to backtrack and say, hey, you know, we've lost sight of what we're doing. We're going after everything. This is, you know, it's not good.
You got to have limits. Because otherwise, if you're never focused on anything, even if you are able to produce it, I don't think the product turns out to be what it should be.
Right.
So Wendy, go back on tools real quick. You had mentioned something about so for proposal phase and stuff, you guys use the whole Microsoft environment, Teams and SharePoint. Do you guys use any different tools for capture or for your pursuit side, like CRM
Not
tools?
Really.
Do you guys use like Salesforce?
No, we don't. We have Oracle Sales Cloud, which is great for tracking. Yeah. And it has some features that we could use better. Let's put it that way.
With every tool, right?
Yeah. Just look at my phone.
Part of it's because it's sort of new. It's only been a couple of years and we're like, well, we're already doing that. So why would we switch gears now?
I'll be honest with you. You're the first person to ever mention that. Nate and I both wrote that down, Oracle Sales Cloud. I don't think we even looked at that ever.
Well, we developed our own CRM tool. So I know, like Dennis said, we kind of like to see what other people are using just to give our audience an idea of it's not one solution, right? You can pick whatever is going to work for you in the company that you work for. Because like we said before, right? Most people can't afford a $100,000 tool for just one tool like CRM, for example, if you're a small business. Yeah, if you're a $2 billion a year revenue organization, you can probably afford those tools and you probably should be using those tools because you're probably going after much more than one or two pursuits every 6 months. So
So speaking of going after pursuits, if companies want to talk about Arcadis and AES engineering services, how do they get a hold of you and or Arcadis?
Oh, well, Arcadis.com is a great place to start.
And it's Arcadis, right?
Cardas, yes.
Spell that again.
Arcadis.
Okay.
Arcadis, okay. Yes.
Yeah, you had an extra R there.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. And is there a, and then, so that's the primary route to Arcadis, right? If they want to get a hold of you guys in Colorado, they can get through to you through that through the website there.
There's probably not a way, but we do have a small business liaison officer.
Okay.
And Katrina Snell, and her last name is escaping me.
It's okay. So you can send it to us and we'll post that.
We'll get all the, you want to send us for contact information or want to get posted.
Yeah.
We can get all that posted with the show notes and all that kind of stuff.
Yep. And then if I can ask, if people have proposal or capture questions, could they reach out to you just in general, you know, companies out there?
Yeah.
And how would you like them to do that?
Just through my professional emails. Totally fine.
Okay. And we'll post those out so people can get a hold of Wendy if they need to. And also we'll put the link. Well, the link I think already for APMP is already on our website, I believe. So you can reach that as well.
I think this is really good though, Dennis. You and I, we have not talked with an AES company yet. So I found this very enlightening. I think a lot of people
like
out here.
That stuff.
I do. I'm kind of a geek like that.
No, I do too. This was good.
There's a lot going on here.
She's a proposal manager. I feel her.
I think Wendy, you need to come down. I have not seen you in person yet at any of our PTAC events.
Oh, well, so that was my next, and that was my next thing too. PTAC is one, government to business meetings.
Government to business outreach.
Yeah.
So once every single month, all the government small business officers, from all the local areas, Buckley, Peterson, Schriever, Fort Carson, show up, and PTAC combines all these and everybody gives presentations on what's going on in the community or their locations that contracts that are coming up for bid.
Yep. So to include construction.
To include all of the Army Corps of Engineers stuff that they're looking for support on.
Yep. Matter of fact, Army Corps of Engineers, I think, comes once a quarter to the meeting, and they pitch all the things that are going on. You can meet with the officers.
I think next month is going to be them.
I think it is, yeah. So. And then the other thing is on January 27th, so this Thursday,
2 days.
Which won't be on this podcast.
Won't be on this podcast.
So well, that's okay.
Last week.
We're going to be up in Centennial for a networking event, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the View House, for those of you who can attend. And then on 3 February, we'll have another event with the Chamber of Commerce, APMP, and the National Contract Management Association, and the U.S. Space Force Small Business Office. So we're co-hosting as a group. At the Colorado Springs Chamber on 3 February from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Chamber downtown. So
at the Chamber.
Yep. If you have time and can make that, that'd be great. Wendy, we'd love to see you there as well as our listening audience. That would be terrific. And any final words, Wendy, for the group?
You know, proposals are not easy, but being organized and persistent is a big piece of the puzzle, and I think anybody can do that part. So keep on trucking.
I like her.
I don't know,
you know
about
why?
That.
You know why, Wendy? Because Dennis is very old school, and I'm trying to bring him up into at least the 20th century. So we as well are using the Microsoft suite, and I'm using OneDrive. And Dennis never fails. We get a new proposal, and Dennis is like, hey, I need your input on this. And he sends me like a 7-meg file. I'm like, what are you doing? Just put it on your OneDrive and send me the link, and we'll have access to it. That way you don't have to combine all this stuff later on.
And she said organized. I don't know.
I'm trying to get you there.
I know I am organized, but in my own way.
Yeah, his own way. Okay, well, Wendy, we appreciate you coming on the show, and we'll be in touch afterwards, and wish you guys the best of luck. Dennis?
Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
And please stay on. We need to talk with you afterwards.
Yeah, we'll get her to do that.
All right. Thank you, Wendy, very much. This is great.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Just Nate, signing off.
Thanks for listening.
You've reached the end of another episode of the Smallscast podcast. Connect with us at thesmalls.org. Don't forget to sign up to our newsletter to receive our free materials. See you at the next episode.
See you at the next episode.